Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. As we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verses 1 through 11, Romans chapter 12. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us as believers to be believers who are following you and living as living sacrifices each and every day. Father, more and more, teach us how to do that. Empower us to be believers that follow you passionately and sacrificially and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you teach us by your word and your spirit what our priorities need to be, what our goals need to be, and what the work of our hands needs to be on a daily basis. Teach us to be a people that listen to your word and your spirit and obey diligently and faithfully each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We want to continue to remind you, please take time to go to our website, afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. And also, we encourage you to take time to download the AFR app so you can listen to the AFR radio network wherever you may choose to go. And also, keep in mind, on the broadcast, we can share the podcast. Again, if you miss a broadcast, you can go back and listen. Or if you want to listen to a program again and again, you'll have that opportunity. Just go to the AFR.net and you'll have that opportunity. I want to remind you once again also, please take time to use the One News Now mobile app as well. It neatly categorizes news and articles from the One News Now website in an easy-to-find format. You could read the stories, watch videos, and conveniently share any news stories all from within the app. Again, that's the One News Now mobile app. It's free, and it's available to download from your phone's app store. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Again, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have with us in studio today Dan Steiner. Dan is the president of the Ministry Preborn. Dan, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
It's great to be here, Pastor.
Great to have you with us today. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment now to further introduce yourself to our listeners, help them to know more about you, and share with them the mission of the Ministry of Preborn.
Glad to do it. What a great opportunity to be in a program centered on the Word of God and prayer.
Yes, sir.
Very unusual in radio these days. So you're kind of
praise
an anchor point, you know, for radio. Love that.
Yes, sir.
So Preborn, our mission is to lead and run pregnancy clinics to help them save more lives and souls. We're about saving babies for earth and saving the mother's soul for eternity, and hopefully then she'll lead her son or daughter that grows up to a relationship with Jesus Christ too. And so we are, in that mission, the alternative to Planned Parenthood and the abortion clinics around the United States. We are their competitor. They're out to make a dollar on death, and we're out to lead women to choose life and choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we're evangelists, if you would, to abortion-vulnerable women.
Mm-hmm.
And We work with hundreds of centers around the nation in various ways, either giving them ultrasound machines or underwriting the ultrasound sessions that they do, teaching them evangelism, running them, helping them with leadership issues. So we do that in the biggest abortion cities in the United States. So 52% of all the abortions in America happen in only six states. Mm-hmm. And you might be able to guess which ones. Mm-hmm. So they're all blue. Mm-hmm. So in order of number of children that die, California, then New York, Miami or Florida, but most of them in Miami, Texas, Dallas and Houston primarily, and then Chicago, and then Metro New Jersey. And so in every one of these places, preborn is placing centers, running centers, and providing the nurses salaries to underwrite these ultrasounds that are given to these women for free. All the services we do are free in these clinics. Let me give you an example of how a clinic works. Mm-hmm. A young lady walked into our clinic. She's in high school. Mm-hmm. And she was pregnant, didn't want to be pregnant, obviously. And so we talked to her about what abortion was. She wanted an abortion. She didn't want to carry the baby to term. And no matter how much we talked to her, she wouldn't change her mind. And there was a special condition here, Pastor, and it is that she was the daughter of the pastor of a church, and she's pregnant. And she's the darling of the youth group, and she couldn't go back and face the fire. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to go back and pregnant, tell her parents or anybody, and here she is.
Right.
Very abortion-minded, very Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes our worldview conflicts with the reality of what you have to, you know, where you have to make hard decisions.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what's so important, what this program, the Hour of Intercession, does in bringing the Word of God into the everyday consciousness of God's people so that we can make biblical decisions when we get in the pinch.
That's right.
And it comes for all of us. And it was for her. Susie's in our center. She's pregnant. She's the pastor's daughter. And so we talked to her to no avail. The circumstances were heavier than the really disreality of the baby that was within her until we took her back into the ultrasound room and ran the baby up on the screen. Here's a 12-week baby, you know, which is swimming around like a little astronaut inside the amniotic fluid. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Oh my goodness, that's beautiful." You know, she starts talking to the baby like any mother would. And and she says, "I can't abort. I don't know what I'm going to do. My parents are probably going to kill me, but nonetheless." So we called her dad, who I happen to know, who was a pastor of the church. He comes down, and they were shocked, not particularly happy she was pregnant, but realized this was their grandkid. And they're going to help her, and they're going to make sure that the baby is born healthy and go from there with it. And so many times you as AFR listeners have heard about Preborn's ministry and our appeal to you for underwriting ultrasound sessions. That's one of them. That's how it changes minds. And so if we get a girl in and she hears her baby's heartbeat is the main thing, and then sees her baby on ultrasound, most of the time, about 80% of the time, she will be choosing life for her baby. So it's tremendous.
Well, Dan, I want to ask if you'll take a moment now specifically to pray for listeners to really listen to the Spirit of God and be wide open to what the Lord may have them to do, because there's some listeners who need to really be praying and interceding daily for the ministry of Preborn, as well as a ministry like AFR that helps to support ministries like Preborn. There are other people who the Lord fully intends for them to give financially to help the work of Preborn. There are some people that may need to come and volunteer either at Preborn or some pregnancy clinic, but that basically if you'll ask that, they'll be wide open to what the Holy Spirit may tell them to do after they hear what God says to them through the broadcast today.
Amen. Good idea, Pastor. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of all men and women and those that are listening today. And Lord, we just pray that each one would take hold of that for which you've taken hold of them, that they'd fulfill your purpose for them in their generation on this, the most divisive and defining issue of our day and time, abortion on demand, whether they would be a counselor at a local center, whether they would join the Preborn Prayer Network, Lord, you know the spiritual warfare is intense. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll touch each one's heart, whether it's to pray, whether it's to volunteer, whether it's to give. Father, we know that the needs are great, and so we just ask now that you move on people's hearts according to your will. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Dan, let me ask this. If I'm clear, so Preborn both has pregnancy clinics, but also helps to provide ultrasound machines for other clinics as well. Is that correct?
That's right. So there's 2,800 pregnancy clinics around America. Lots of them. Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah. So every state has dozens. And they're all barrels that stand on their own bottom. They're all small kind of hand-to-mouth kind of operations. And so they need help. Mm-hmm. So if an ultrasound machine goes out, they typically don't have the $15,000 or $20,000 it would take to be able to replace the machine. That's where Preborn comes in. Mm-hmm. But we do so much more than that. We have an evangelism curriculum. You're going to love this, brother, where we teach pregnancy clinic operators how to lead and be more effective at leading women to Christ, to evangelize them. Mm-hmm. And our clinics that are our close partner clinics, which we have 53 in the largest abortion states of America, those centers actually lead the nation in the percent of women that come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And mm-hmm. so we've seen tremendous increases. If a center will use our curriculum, the average increase is 340% more women will come to know Christ. Mm-hmm. And so evangelism is at the core, and it's the central value of what we do. So we run clinics. We have clinics that are our clinics right in Los Angeles, the highest abortion county of the United States, and Hollywood, California as well. So we decided if we're going to do it, might as well run to the front of the battle, mm-hmm. and that's where it's at. Mm-hmm. But we also have partner clinics that are very closely aligned with us, that we work closely with and resource to be able to provide the needs of these women mm-hmm. In the DMV area of Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, the entire East Coast of Florida, Chicago, Metro New Jersey, just out of New York City, New York City itself, as well as Dallas and Houston and Los Angeles. And so we both run and lead pregnancy clinics. So we're a leadership ministry. We gather centers together every year, the best leaders of the biggest clinics in the highest abortion cities in America, to do something we call Imago Dei, mm-hmm. which, as you know, is Latin for in the image of God. And we brought John Maxwell in to teach them here recently mm-hmm. This year. And so we're just there to try to help pregnancy clinics be excellent at what they do. We do everything we do for free. Freely we receive and freely we give. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what the profile looks like.
Okay. Well, Dan, if someone listening is thinking to themselves, they'd really like to help to pay for one of the ultrasound machines, how could they do that?
Yeah, it's real simple. They can either do it on the internet by going to preborn.com, or they can call #250, #250 on their cell phone and say keyword baby, and we have operators waiting. And if you want to, let them know you want to do a machine, and I will talk with you personally about, how to do that and where it will go and how it will be used, and let you know the program, which we call Operation Equip, putting mm-hmm. Ultrasound equipment into pregnancy centers across America. So I've got, it's just funny, as I was driving down here to the AFR studios today, mm-hmm. I've got three machines that we're needing to buy right now. Mm-hmm. And so that's good that we can ask.
All right. Well, we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Dan Steiner. He's the president of the ministry Preborn. We'll be right back.
My heart cries for more.
music of Covenant Church, the song My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Dan Steiner. He's the president of the ministry Preborn. And Dan, in this segment, I want to ask if you'll share more stories that help illustrate why the work that Preborn does is so important in the war of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion.
Glad to do it, Pastor. So it says in Psalm 139 that all my days were written for me when there was yet none of them. What we're talking here, not just a little unborn child, but a lifetime of joy and family and generations that could potentially follow based on one destructive act of abortion. And so many women come in and change their minds. I think of one in particular. It was a couple that came in, and the woman was very abortion-minded, and we tried to isolate the reason why she was abortion-minded, because she just didn't want to keep the pregnancy. It turns out, though, that she really was kind of ambivalent about it, but the boyfriend in the lobby was pushing her, mm-hmm. wanted her to abort. And so we brought him in. And I've got a couple of stories I can recall like that. But in this particular one, we talked to him, and he wasn't budging. He wasn't ready to be a father at all. So we took them back to the ultrasound room. And this is just the coolest story in the world, because he's the one that's pushing for the abortion. But when the image of the baby came up, the baby was doing a thumbs up sign, like, you know, the like sign on Facebook kind of thing, one of those, a thumbs up sign. And it freaked him out, because that was a sign that he used regularly. He said, I do that every day. Oh my gosh, the baby's doing it. That's my son. And and so it completely
like father, like child.
Yeah, apparently. And, you know, we know that with 4D ultrasound, often you can even see familial characteristics they look like. Oh, that looks like my dad, you know. Mm-hmm. And he resoundingly chose life, and they, you know, we helped them make plans and mm-hmm. gave, you know, let them know we have maternity clothes and stuff that they can have. And so mm-hmm. that's one example of how it works. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the dads are the ones that choose life and are the ones that are pushing. So 48% of the time, a woman is being pushed to abort by extraneous pressures. Her mother, which is the grandmother of the baby. Another 42% of the time, it's a husband, boyfriend, or significant, whatever he is, that's pushing her to abort. So most of the time, over 80% of the time, it is not the woman that's really wanting to abort, but it's the circumstances and the people that are part of those circumstances. And so another great story I remember just recently is another couple came in, and they came back to the counseling room. He again was very much pushing to abort. She didn't really care either way, which is crazy. She's the one that's pregnant, but nonetheless. And so when they went into the ultrasound room, this was a particularly well-developed baby, a second trimester baby. I think it was like 17 weeks. And when they saw the baby on ultrasound, he goes, oh my gosh, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to take that baby's life. And he was the
Praise God.
Before her that said that they were going to choose life. And so it makes a big difference.
You know, Dan, in both those stories, you point out something that is so powerful to really consider, too. Is it like, you know, so oftentimes those that support abortion are quick to say it's a woman's choice. But the reality is, so many times men are the engines behind many of the abortions that many times a woman is either on the fence or she wants to keep her baby, but a boyfriend or even a husband sometimes will tell her, I'm not ready to be a dad, you're going to abort this baby. And time again, the woman does exactly, sadly, what the boyfriend or the husband says, not because it's what she wants, but she wants to please him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is why, and it might apply to you that are listening today, that abortion is so destructive on the heart of a woman. Because most of the time, when they look back on it, they said, you know, I shouldn't have listened to my mom who was pushing me, or I shouldn't have listened to my boyfriend at the time. It causes destruction on marriage and a tremendous load of guilt and shame on those that have had abortion so often in their lives. And so if that's you, there's a verse for you in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, It says, there is therefore now, as you're listening to this radio show right now, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. So abortion is not the unpardonable sin, as horrible as it is. The blood of Christ is sufficient to bring forgiveness. And if that's something that's been your experience in your life, if you've had an abortion, we'd encourage you to get a hold of us at Preborn. You can reach us on our website at preborn.com. We'd love to talk to you about it. We have resources for those who've had abortions in their lives. And just know that the blood of Christ is sufficient to cleanse you from all sin.
That's right. That's right. And I'm going to ask Dan now, would you pray for the church to really rise up to be the courageous church God is calling us to be, to really get involved with the battle here? Because, again, there's such a need for individual believers and the church collectively to really be willing to boldly speak up at the right time, to boldly speak to this issue. Don't be afraid to be strong and biblical in our understanding, but also to be willing to stand up and do the right thing. You know, I think of it too many times you have believers that will sometimes compromise. Like, for example, if a niece says, I'm pregnant and I need to borrow the money from you to go to pregnancy clinic, a believer should say, no, honey, I can't loan you the money to do this. This is wrong. I'm going to stay home and pray that you'll change your mind, rather than saying, well, I want to help her out. No, because that makes you an accomplice to mm-hmm. a terrible murder, to be quite honest. And it's That's important right. that we understand we're to be biblical in our approach. But prayer that the church will just individually and collectively be the courageous church standing on the word that God wants us to be.
So important. So, Father, you said as we come to you in the name of Jesus that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. And
yes, Lord.
The church is listening. If you're listening today, you're the church. If you're a Christian, Father, we thank you that you've chosen us and called us as your body.
Thank you.
Lord, we just ask that you would wake up the sleeping giant of the church across America to rise up for the cause of the fatherless and the helpless in this nation. And so we just ask that each believer here listening to this program would be used of you to do their part, whether it's to give, whether it's to pray, whether it's to volunteer, to help rescue the lives of these unborn children. And so, Father, we just ask you to do a great awakening and a great revival in your church, and you'd start with us, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Specifically, too, Dan, how would you think it would be wise for believers to pray for? Well, before we do that, once again, if somebody is wanting to help buy an ultrasound machine or just to learn more and somehow or another plug into Preborn again, tell them how they can get in touch to help do that.
Sure. Yeah. If you're listening and you would like to underwrite one ultrasound a month for $28 or maybe five ultrasounds for $140 one time, 100% of that money is given to our clinics to pay for ultrasounds for free for these young women that walk in our clinics. Or if you wanted to do an ultrasound machine, we have three that we're needing to purchase right now, actually, $15,000 each. Well, you can reach us at #250, that's #250, and say keyword baby on your cell phone. Or you can go online and donate at preborn.com.
Okay, and you said that about 80% of the women that will see an ultrasound, though she may be abortion-minded, you said about 80% will choose to keep their babies.
Yes, I mean, it depends on how close she is to the abortion decision. If she's already paid money and she's thought it through, then maybe that's 70 or 60%. But most of the time, we catch them early in their decision-making process, and 80% of the time, if she sees her baby on ultrasound, she'll choose life.
Mm. So the ultrasound machine, without question, is a game changer for this issue.
Yeah, it really is. It's the weapon of choice here against abortion in America. It's the one thing that really makes the biggest difference.
Mm-hmm.
God's built within women this natural love as childbearers, and when that kicks in and they actually see it, mm-hmm. why, they will choose life most of the time. And so our deal is, at Preborn, how do we get them into the center, a woman wanting an abortion, into a Christian clinic, and then connect with them deeply enough so they'll let us speak truth to them and show them truth, picture in this case being worth more than 1,000 words as an ultrasound for them to see that. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have another story you can share?
Yeah, I've got a great story. A woman came in sometime back, Maria. She was a housekeeper. She cleaned houses for a living, many houses. She had a teenage daughter at home and a senior in high school. Was on a one-night stand, got pregnant. Yep, it happens. Don't do that. Don't do one-night stands because it can lead to where Maria was, which is in our clinic, pregnant. Mm-hmm. She thought, well, I'm not going to be able to make a living pregnant. I can't clean the number of houses I need to clean while I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I've already got a senior in high school daughter, so I didn't really plan for this. And so she was very abortion-minded. And we tried to talk her out of it with no success. So we brought her back into the ultrasound room. Mm-hmm. And ran the baby up on the screen. And there on the screen is Amy, the ultrasonographer, was having difficulty getting the babies up on the screen, mm-hmm. finding them on the ultrasound technology. And she goes, oh, I get it. There's two of them. They're twins mm-hmm. up on the screen. And when the baby, when the mother saw those twins, mm-hmm. she started crying. She said, I don't know what to do. I know I can't take the life of these children. Mm-hmm. Well, those children have been born. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Isabella and Victoria are their names, and they're wonderful, beautiful little girls. And that day in the ultrasound room, her daughter was in there. The high school senior daughter was in there, and she had just graduated. And she saw her sisters on the ultrasound, and mm-hmm. she said, you know, Mom, I will help you clean houses. We're going to make this work. We're going to work together as a team. Mm-hmm. And so... whoever underwrote that ultrasound got a two for one.
Praise God. Praise God. Powerful story. But just a reminder that, you know, it's something to think that the ultrasound helps is a tool that the Holy Spirit uses to open the eyes of the parent. Because the reality is, whether they see an ultrasound or not, every child is precious.
Yes.
Every child is made in the image of God, and every child should be valued. But sadly, prior to seeing an ultrasound, for many people, they just don't see it. They just don't see it as being something they want to go through with. But praise God for an instrument, a tool like an ultrasound, which can make all the difference there.
It really is great. And the other tool we've got is our second goal in our mission, and that is to lead these women to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And so... Dan and Valerie came into our center sometime back, and they were wanting an abortion. Well, when we got Valerie into the room, we found out that she didn't really want the abortion. It was Dan that was pushing her in the other room. Mm-hmm. So we brought him in. We said, so, you know, why is it that you want abortion? And he just says, well, I just do. He was just very closed-mouthed about it. Mm-hmm. So... we put a little fetal model into his hand, the size of a baby, and closed it in his fist. And the counselor said, this is the size of your son or daughter right now, you know, in Valerie's womb. Mm-hmm. And he looked at that in his hand for some time, and then he started to kind of get misty. And he said, I don't know what to do here. I was raised by a violent drunk, my dad had a terrible temper. Mm-hmm. I've got a worse one. I don't want to bring a child into this. And anyway, long story short, before that counseling session was over, the counselor led Dan and Valerie to one who could heal their past wounds and give them a hope for the future, the King of Glory and the president of AFR Radio and of Mission Freeborn, Jesus Christ. And they both accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and chose life. And so the gospel is centristic to who Preborn is. That's the unique distinctive of Preborn Ministries is we're here not only to save the babies, but save the mother's soul. And so this is critical. I'm an evangelist by passion and practice, and so are many of our counselors across America. And it's such a joy to know that we can be laying up eternal life before these people. They come in wanting to kill their baby. They leave loving as a loving mother, loving God. It's just tremendous what happens. All that's actuated by an ultrasound. You know, if you're wanting to sponsor an ultrasound, you could be part of it. $28 sponsors one, $140 sponsors five. Give us a call at #250, say keyword baby, or visit us at preborn.com.
Dan, I want to ask, our time is almost gone, but would you pray for believers to be mindful, to grow in their understanding of the fact that all of us are called to be passionately involved in the work of the spread of the gospel And that's to be a priority in our minds and our hearts as we follow the Lord one day at a time. Would you pray for that, please?
Glad to. Yes, sir, Pastor. Lord, you say in your word that you've redeemed us as a people zealous for good works. And so we just pray, Father, that you'd ignite our hearts to fear your name and to be on point. You said our faith, if it does not have application, if it doesn't have works, is dead in the book of James. And so we just ask that you would ignite the hearts of people to act on this, not to just digest the information and go about our daily lives. But Father, we pray you'd revive the hearts of believers to do their part in this, the defining issue of our generation, abortion on demand, to save the lives of babies in their neighborhood and throughout America. So we just pray you'll rise people up, Lord, to do that very thing. In the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Our guest has been Dan Steiner, the president of Preborn. Dan, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Pastor.
We'll be right back after this break. Laura's story, the song Mighty to Save. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We were blessed to have Dan Steiner with us in the first two segments of the broadcast, and we would like to ask if you'll pray much for Dan and the ministry of Preborn. They're doing a powerful work of helping and working with pregnancy clinics and specifically helping to provide ultrasound machines, which are, again, are powerful tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit to help change the minds of those persons that are unsure or even thinking they don't want to keep their babies. Again, I would ask and then challenge every listener to pray much for Preborn, but also pray for the ministry of pregnancy clinics as a whole. In this final segment, I want to encourage you to and challenge you to learn more about the great ministry and work that pregnancy clinics do throughout our nation and in many different states. It's so important that we as believers understand that this is a particular ministry in the pro-life cause that really is on the front lines of this very important work of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. You know, too often when people that don't know much about what pregnancy clinics do will often think, well, the kind of work they do, I think we may already have plenty of clinics that do it, but many people don't seem to realize that, as Dan so beautifully pointed out, one of the priority issues with with pregnancy clinics is the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your average medical clinic just doesn't do that. And so it's important that we understand that the work of evangelism and discipleship is a critical component in the ministry of most all Christian pregnancy clinics. And so I would encourage you to pray for the ministry and the work of pregnancy clinics, and also find out where your local pregnancy clinics are located. And I would encourage and challenge you to take it upon yourself to do a couple things in relation in supporting them. Prayerfully decide that you're going to give financially to support the work, as well as pray for them every day. But also take time to go and volunteer. Many pregnancy clinics depend heavily on volunteers because very oftentimes they have very limited staff, but really can use help from volunteers when they can get them. So I would encourage you to find out, as I said, where your local pregnancy clinic is. Go and volunteer and give financially. Give a generous gift, or even a small gift. Every gift helps. I would encourage you to prayerfully consider asking your local church if they'll consider giving a gift to the local pregnancy clinic in your community. All of these are things believers can do to help support the great, great work that pregnancy clinics do all over the nation. As I said, pregnancy clinics are involved in the work of evangelism and discipleship and pastoral ministry. And also, they just various in many ways simply love and encourage young women who find themselves pregnant at a difficult and tough time in their lives. And so this work of the ministry of pregnancy clinics, as I said, is on the front lines of the work of standing for life and against abortion. And I would challenge you to get involved with supporting and working with your local pregnancy clinic. Now, I'd like to share about this tool as well. The Justice Foundation is a Christian legal ministry that's been involved with the fight of standing for life and against abortion for a long, long time. They provide a tool that we refer to it as the Dear Parent Letter and the Dear Client Letter. Well, basically, the Dear Parent Letter is a very strategic tool for some very important reasons to use in fighting for life and against abortion. Many people don't realize, and again, this was an issue that was touched on in our conversation with Dan Steiner with the Ministry of Preborn earlier in the broadcast. If a woman wants to keep her baby, whether she's 35 years old or if the young woman happens to be as young as 13, whatever age she may be, if she's pregnant and carrying a child, it's her decision to decide about the life of the baby. Very oftentimes when a girl is a minor and she's pregnant, parents, fathers and or mothers will think that it's their right to decide for the child, for their daughter, what she should do with the baby. And so many times you have situations where a father or a mother or both have decided that they want their daughter to get an abortion because they may say she's too young to carry a child or too young to be a mom. Well, the reality is if she's pregnant, by law, it's her decision. And so oftentimes what you have is you'll find a situation where a minor girl wants to keep her baby, but the father and or the mother will decide that it's their decision. They will think it's their decision and will say, no, you're going to get an abortion. Well, it's important that you understand the Dear Parent Letter explains that whatever age the mother may be, if she wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for a father or a mother or a boyfriend or a husband or anyone else to coerce her, to try to push her to get an abortion. It's against the law, and that person, whoever they may be, whether they're a parent or anyone else, they can be prosecuted for that. And so the reality is many a parent or many a boyfriend or a husband will back off very quickly when they realize that's the law, but many people don't know the law. And so one of the reasons why we really try to promote the use of the Dear Parent Letter is because the Dear Parent Letter can be a wonderful and a powerful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit to save a lot of babies And this tool has saved many, many babies. So I want to challenge our listeners as well, whoever you might be. You can go to thejusticefoundation.org. Again, go to their website, thejusticefoundation.org, and download the letter. Or you can simply email us. My email is jparker@afa.net. And I'd be glad to email the letter to you as well. But we really want to get this tool into your hands because there may be an occasion where you simply should hand a minor girl that you might know that's being coerced to get an abortion, hand her the letter, and the letter's all she would need. I often have shared this example because some time ago when we were promoting the use of the letter, I got a phone call from a 17-year-old girl in another city, a large city in another part of the country. How she connected to us here in Tupelo, Mississippi, it was just the sovereign hand and mercy of God. But she called and she basically let us know, I'm pregnant and my parents have scheduled me to get an abortion tomorrow and I want to keep my baby. Can you help me? Well, all we did was we emailed her the letter, a copy of the letter. The next day, we didn't hear from her right away. So out of concern, I gave her a call. She'd contacted us on her cell phone. When she answered, she and her mother were at the abortion clinic, and she had the letter in her hand that had been emailed to her, but she hadn't shown her mom. Well, I encouraged her, please show your mom the letter. Well, she did show her mom the letter a little later, and the abortion clinic workers as well, and the abortion clinic workers knew that it was against the law for them to do an abortion on her in view of the fact that she did not want to have the abortion. Her mom wanted her to have it, but she didn't. And so when the clinic workers realized the mother involved in this situation didn't want to get an abortion, they knew we cannot do this abortion. Now, the mom was not happy, but they did do an ultrasound on this 17-year-old girl and come to find out she was carrying twins. So the reality is the Holy Spirit used that letter to save not just one baby, but two babies, twins, that day. Well, again, the Dear Parent Letter is a powerful and a wonderful tool, and I would encourage every listener to download the letter. Put it in the hands of high school and middle school counselors. Put it on the bulletin board at your local church. Give hard copies to school counselors. Send email copies to school counselors. And also even teachers sometimes, and sometimes principals, need to get copies of this letter because this letter has and will continue to be used to save lots and lots of babies because many people do not know the law in all 50 states. If the mother wants to keep her baby, again, no father, no mother, no grandfather, grandmother, no boyfriend, no husband, no one is to coerce her to get an abortion. That's against the law in all 50 states. So I would challenge you to get the Dear Parent Letter and use it because, again, it's a wonderful tool to help save babies. And there's so many things each and every one of us can do. Let's all pray daily for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon every pregnancy clinic. Pray for the Spirit of God to be poured out mightily at local abortion clinics as well, because remember this, again, they're many a woman have gone into abortion clinics and have come back out because the Spirit of God spoke to them and encouraged them to keep their baby. So lots of spiritual warfare happens around every pregnancy clinic and every abortion clinic as well. And our prayers can help make a big, big difference in encouraging women to choose life for their babies. Let's be diligent soldiers to help do what we can to help end the tragedy of abortion and to stop the killing of these babies as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for every pregnancy clinic in our nation. Thank you for the great and wonderful work they do. Thank you again for the work of Preborn and your hand of grace upon it. Lord, anoint the ministry of every pregnancy clinic in our nation. Anoint the ministry of Preborn all with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. And Lord, pour out your mercy and grace in much greater measure upon these places. But also, Lord, Father, pour out your grace and mercy mightily upon every abortion clinic as well, Lord. And Lord, I pray that your grace and mercy would touch in every woman that goes into these places. Touch them, change the minds and the hearts of these women to choose life, even though sometimes they've gone through the doors of the abortion clinic. Lord, you know how to touch them and they can still change their minds. Help us to be faithful to pray much for your grace to be at work at every abortion clinic in our nation to do just that. But help us to be faithful to pray much for your grace and mercy to be at work mightily in every pregnancy clinic in our nation. And Father, raise up more and more pregnancy clinics in our nation and raise up more and more individual believers and churches that will support the work of these pregnancy clinics. Open the eyes and the understanding of many, many believers to see the great, great need to have these wonderful ministries in their communities. And Father, I pray that you'd stir the church to do their part to get behind and support this great and very important work in their communities. Help us to cease being apathetic, but to really begin to rise up and recognize it's all of our responsibility to help start pregnancy clinics in communities where there is not one, but to help those that are in existence, to help them with our prayers, to help them with our finances and our monies, to help them with our time and energy as volunteers and in other ways as well. Help us to look for ways that we can be of help and be of strength and encouragement to them. And Lord, raise up many more courageous pastors and leaders that will lead the charge in encouraging their congregations to become wholeheartedly involved in supporting and standing with and helping to carry out the great work that these pregnancy clinics do. Lord, more and more open our eyes as a nation to see that the killing of unborn babies is against the word and the will of God. It's not the will of God for it to ever happen. And help us to recognize, Lord, that we're to boldly stand for life and against abortion. More and more open the eyes of those that say they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Help them to recognize that we're all called to boldly stand for life and to stand against the tragedy of abortion, and help us to do our part wherever we are, whatever that may be, but help us to be bold witnesses for this cause. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. And again, we're challenging and encouraging you. Ask God to show you what all he wants you to do and get involved in the great work of standing for life and against abortion. Find out where your local pregnancy clinic is. Pray for them, support them, volunteer. God can use you to do many different things. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.